We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Anything I have to say, just that you can guess anyway, and the real preacher is right there in the front row, so come back and see him. But if this is a place that you consider home, definitely you are in a great place to make a great impact, for God to make an impact on your life and for you to make an impact in the earth. Look, I want to go ahead and jump in the Word, as Pastor Edwin has already touched on what the series has been on Diversify. I do want to touch on that, and I'm humbled by your words that you had to share. It's only by God's grace we are where we are as a church, and me as a leader. Every now and then I look up, and I get a little scared. I'm like, wow, God, what's going on? And so I think life should kind of be like that, that God should be doing so much that you should always kind of be on edge. Anybody else like that type of thing? Anybody else like roller coasters? Let me ask that. You like roller coasters? Okay, wait, right. I kind of like roller coasters because it lets me know that I can sniff death without dying. And that's as close as I want to get it. Ooh, there it is. And then that's it. I'm done, and I'm good for the next 6 years. Okay. But that's how it is. Like, I believe, like, my walk with the Lord, when I say roller coaster, it's not because of hills and valleys. It's because of his great faithfulness and the ways that he show up and the favor that he gives us in our life. And so one person said you should live with dreams that are so big that if God does not intervene, you'll fall flat on your face. And there's been many times that this is the floor and this is my face. And it's only by God's grace that I don't fall flat on my face. And so that's just an encouraging word. That's not even within the sermon. That's just for you to live a maximized life. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 is where we're going to be. Acts chapter 2 is in the New Testament. If you see Revelation, back that thing up. If you see Genesis, move on forward. If you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those cousins and stuff like that, you are on the way. Acts chapter 2. And Acts is what some people almost consider almost like the fifth gospel, because it's where the disciples of Jesus actually begin to live the life that he designed for them. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and it'll be up here on the screen. We're in the New King James Version. And I'm going to read through it, and let us jump in. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Can we go back to verse 12 just for a second? Verse 12, it after names all of these folks, it pretty much said people from every tribe, every tongue, everybody, people from all seven cities. Y'all know about the seven cities? Y'all, we in 757, right? Okay. People from all the seven cities, they all came together and they were perplexed. And they said, whatever could this mean? If I could use for a title, topic, subject, or focus this morning, our time together is simply one word, and that word is beyond. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to take you beyond your human divisions, beyond your human abilities, and beyond your human expectation. Beyond. That's a simple word. Can everybody shout beyond? Beyond. Great. Got some crowd participation. It goes faster that way. Can everybody shout it one more time? Beyond. And so that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to take you from wherever you are. He wants to take you beyond your limitations, beyond your abilities, beyond your divisions, to be able to see the great things he has planned. And so with that being said, let us pause for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we're grateful for this time together. And Lord, we believe, Lord, that you've brought us here because you want to do something magnificent in each of our lives. Lord, some of us don't even know what that means. That's fine. That just means that we get a chance to experience a new chapter, a new season, a new day. Lord, some of us, we came in here and we look good from afar, but we're far from looking good. We have issues in our lives. We have brokenness in our lives. We have relationships that are falling apart. Our money is looking funny, and we don't want to lift our hands. We're just tired. But for some reason, Lord, you allowed us to come in here today. And Lord, I believe you brought us in this place to remind us of who you are and who you created us to be. And Lord, that there is greater coming in our lives. So Lord, we want to receive all of what you have for us today. Open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears that we might see, hear, and receive all of what you have for us. And Lord, even as I preach your word, God, I bring to you water. May you touch it and make it wine. That if people don't remember who Chris Johnson is, may they remember that Christ Jesus is their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beyond. So I love the book of Acts, because when we look at the book of Acts, it's really the place where you see ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Ordinary people get a chance to do extraordinary things. In the book of Acts, it's after Jesus has already walked the earth. He's died on the cross for all of our sins. He's risen from the grave. And then the book of Acts is humanity's response to a resurrected Savior. So the Gospels is the moment that we really can't live in as humanity right now, because the Gospels are essentially past tense. Like, the effect of it is in all eternity. But Jesus walked the earth for 33 years. He died on the cross, rose from the grave. He forgave us all of our sins. And now the Gospels close. We get the impact and the effect of the Gospel. But the book of Acts is kind of like the one that continues to contextualize us. Well, this is what life looks like after the resurrection. Are y'all following me thus far? And so what I mean by the resurrection is the greatest thing that happened. So you had like creation, then you had the fall of man. When I say the fall of man, Adam and Eve, they was in a garden, and God said you can eat anything except from this one tree. Eve had a taste for a fruit cocktail from that one tree, and so she got the fruit, made a little parfait for Adam, and then Adam ate it, and then sin entered the world, then all of us are doomed to hell. Thank you, Adam. You ruined it all. I always say if there was one person I could punch in the face, it would be Adam. See, when Eve ate it, everything, nothing really changed. But Adam, he ate it. I'm like, ooh, in Jesus' name, I'm going to lay hands. Anyway, and so when sin entered the world, what ended up happening is we were violently separated from our Creator. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I came up with a few plugs in my house that were a little loose or either had shortages. And some of them make a little noise if you touch the cord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And then you can tell the connection is kind of weak because the light begins to dwindle a little bit. I remember before, you know, everybody had the cool satellites and stuff. We had the antennas. And the antennas with the rabbit ears, you had to rotate and get the clear picture. Right? And when the connection was bad, it was very, very fuzzy, you know? And people started looking weird. They had little waves in front of their face and everything, right? And so what happened when sin entered the world, our connection with our Creator was ruined. And so now we were meant to be plugged into Him, because He gave us the ruach breath of life, which means when we're connected to Him, He's like our eternal respirator. He keeps us breathing. But then when we're separated from Him, we're like the fish outside of the water, and every time we breathe, we get closer to death. Now, this is without you lying, stealing, cheating, kicking folks, slapping folks, flipping people to bird because they cut you off in the tunnel. This is before you did anything wrong. You were born into a situation with a shortage. You were born into a place where your humanity was already limited. You have a natural proclivity to hate somebody else. And some of us already know, as soon as I say hate somebody else, you already had that person's face in mind. You knew exactly what they had on last time you saw them. You knew exactly what their hair looked like. And you're like, man, I don't even like to hate them, but it just feels natural. Anybody can, don't say amen yet. It's okay. You ain't gotta confess yet. It's all right. Because I know for me, I have people that I call anti-Chris. Anti-Chris. Like, I'm allergic to certain types of personalities. It's like they come around, I break out of hives, I start sneezing, and I get headaches, and I just, get away! And the thing is, I don't have to try to do that. It's just a sin in me. Like, it's just a sin in me that God has created them, but for some reason, I don't know if God spent enough time on them. That's my sin. God did everything the way he desired for it to be done. I'm just not on one accord with how he created that person. And so what we have to realize is, within our humanity, when sin entered the world, we were separated from our Creator, and also we were separated from each other. At that point, it's always harder now to get along with somebody else. But then there's also other limitations. Don't you realize you were created in the image of God? Let's catch that for a second. No matter if you feel like you're too short, too tall, too wide, too skinny, too light, too dark, doesn't make a difference, any of that. You were created in the image of God, which means that there is potential for perfection just written all in your DNA. God created us to be able to let his will that is in heaven be manifested on earth. You were created for greatness. Like, he took time out of eternity to make you, to shape you, to mold you, and to give you a purpose that will help all of earth, every tree, every animal, every river, every ocean, and every person. Let them know who he is. He used you. He wanted you to use you just for that. You were created with greatness in mind. You weren't created to be less than. You wasn't created to be marginalized. You wasn't created to be a narcissist considered less. No. You were created in the image of God. So whenever somebody says you ugly or you don't look right, you don't act right, you got to remind them, actually, I'm more like my daddy. I can't help it. He created me this way. You were created for greatness. And I want to go ahead and help somebody understand that wherever you are right now, it may be good, but there is greater because of the great God you serve. And if you don't know that there's greater, you'll never strive for it. It's kind of like the whole idea, it's like the goldfish understanding, that a goldfish has the ability to grow according to its environment. So if you put a goldfish in a small bowl, when they're little, they're going to grow small, right? If you put a goldfish, y'all ever been to some of the Asian cuisine restaurants? And they have the little streams, and they got goldfish that look like catfish? Y'all ever seen them? And I was like, I want to see that on some sushi, with a little bit of rice, a little bit of seaweed on that. I want to know what it tastes like. They have real goldfish, not the little channel ones in the box made by Pepper Ridge. No. I'm sorry, I got kids. I know all about goldfish, right? But when you put a goldfish in a larger environment, they tend to grow and maximize their potential. And so you can have a goldfish this big or a goldfish this big. It's all about the environment that they're in. Got it? Now, let me tell you this, that you were put in the earth with the potential to be like this. Sin and other issues in life cause us to think like this. So when you do wrong, when you do mess up, when you do have activities and behaviors that are just not healthy, and y'all know what I mean by not healthy, like, I'm not telling you can't drink, but you know when you drunk too much, when the room is spinning but you standing still, you know it's just... Y'all, anybody know what I'm... No, okay, maybe they had chameleon before they got here, Edwin. Some of us know, you know, there's some stuff we just shouldn't do. Like, if you woke up beside somebody different, you know, multiple times this year, and you had to remember where your clothes was, that's just not good. Right? We got... We got that. Can I be real? Yeah, okay, all right. And you know, all of us got testimonies. It might not be your testimony. Maybe your testimony is, you know, you're thinking small is, well, you think that God doesn't care about you. You think God doesn't love you. You think God just favors everybody else. I look at your life and it's just so blessed. And I look at my life, I'm just so less. Some of us just kind of come to that moment right there. But let me tell you, when God comes into your life, he reminds you that the earth is his footstool and you have a greater atmosphere because he wants you to be as big in him as possible. But we are taught to live within limitation. Now, let me go ahead and get back to the book of Acts. That was a good commercial break. In the book of Acts, we find, again, that this is after the resurrected Savior has come. And he gives them a promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says this, and this is how he returns us back to our potential. He says, listen, I got one more promise for you. And in this promise, this is what will happen. He says, but you shall receive power when you receive my Holy Spirit. When you receive my Spirit, you shall receive power. And so when we understand that God desires to connect with us. He desires to be with us. It should change our paradigm. Some of us are in here, you're scared right now that God is disappointed in you. God is not disappointed in you. He cares so much about you that it hurts him when you are separate from him and when you're doing things he didn't create you to do. So it pains him like a parent to a child. But God desires to connect with us. See, here's the thing. God as creator, he is over us. God as Savior, he became flesh, wrapped himself in flesh, born of a virgin through a broken family system. Jesus, he walked with us. So we got the Creator that's over us. We got Jesus that walked with us. But in the book of Acts, we see a transition. God says, I don't want to just be over you. I don't want to just be with you, but I also want to be in you. Now, I thought y'all would be a little bit more excited than that. I done wasted my 3 hours driving, and I really worked on that part right there. No, I'm joking. Listen, understand, God is not just a man upstairs with an iron fist, you know what I'm saying, like, boom, I rule everything. No, that's him as creator. He's over you. You are covered. But he took time. Jesus walked the earth for 30 years and only ministered for 3, which means 90% of his time was about connecting with you. So he'll understand when you're going through pain. So Hebrews chapter 4 says he sympathizes with you when you're going through your weaknesses. He understands how you feel. He cries with you. He's with us. But he says, you know what? I desire to be so connected with you. I don't want to just be a historical figure that they said walked the earth. No, 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 no. Because I'm living forever and ever. And I want to be able to live within you. So the book of Acts is a transition. It's a transition to intimacy and empowerment. And so when you get to the book of Acts, he says, now this is what redeemed creation should look like. Redeemed creation should not just know about God in the sense of religiosity. Redeemed creation should not just know about Jesus who died on the cross, but redeemed creation should have an intimate connection with me that cannot be broken. So when we look throughout the Bible, when we look throughout the New Testament, throughout the Pauline epistles, he'll tell us that the Holy Spirit seals our relationship with him. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, which means cleanses us, which means begin to change the way we think, the way we live, the way we move. The Holy Spirit also, it empowers us not just to live like Jesus, walk, talk, and love like Jesus, but it also empowers us to minister like Jesus. See, it's not just power to save you out of the grips of hell. It's also power to push you to fulfill your purpose. And oftentimes, we live with 2/3 of the Trinity. But there's a third portion of the Trinity that we cannot forget, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about living a diverse life, let me tell you, divine unity only happens by the Holy Spirit. Healthy marriages only happen by the Holy Spirit. Good parenting only happens by the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? Here's my first point, that the Holy Spirit moves us beyond our human divisions. We are in a divided world. If you're in politics, you're right, you're left, you're red or you're blue. Crips and Bloods, it's the same thing too. I didn't even try to rhyme. I just got bars this morning. Bars. Right, and so we're always taught that you've got to be, that you have to be either here or there. Oh, if you voted for Trump, you are going to hell. Well, if you vote for Hillary, you're going to hell too. And if you voted for Obama, you're going to hell. Everybody goes to hell. Like, it really doesn't make a difference. Our political climate gets so intense because we are wired for division. Racism gets so intense because we're wired for division. And what the Holy Spirit comes into our lives is to move us beyond those divisions. Yeah. And see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to confront systemic issues that continues to cause division. The Holy Spirit also calls us to confront our interpersonal issues that cause division. See, some of us in here, we're mad about everybody else because their racism and their prejudice is on Front Street. But if somebody was to search the inner parts of your heart, you just ain't said it out your mouth yet, or you ain't made a dumb tweet. And some of us, especially, one of us, and our church is diverse, so I kind of cut straight at it because when I look at it, when the subject of racism comes up, Pastor Edwin, you got white people who feel guilty and black people who feel angry. And it's always that case. As soon as it comes up, white people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Black people say, y'all still don't understand. Well, when are we ever going to close the gap? And we're waiting for the government to close the gap. No, the government works in favor for a specific group of people oftentimes, and we can't help that because it's humanity and it's in a broken system. So let's stop depending on the government to be God and let God be God and teach us how to help the government be the best they can be. And so what happens in Acts chapter 2 is that now Jesus, he has said, look, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, the last time this many people been together was a Passover, was when Jesus was crucified, which was 50 days earlier, which was what we call Easter. And so when Passover happened, you had a big festival. So all these Jews that came in town, and because many of them traveled like 900 miles, in which they might have took a year or two to get to Jerusalem, most of them stayed for another 50 days to the next festival, which was Pentecost. That's just historical context. And so now when they stay in Jerusalem for Pentecost, it is set up. And every time there is a crowd of people, our God loves to show off. Because understand, see, he was crucified in front of the crowd. He was risen kind of in private, and he showed himself to a lot of his disciples. So when Pentecost comes up, he says, the next time everybody see me, they're going to see me in a different form. Yeah, so now the day of Pentecost comes, right? And here's the cool thing. And we got this thing at our church right now, and this is we've been praying for revival, right? And so I listened to that last song that's been on my soundtrack, the Elevation song, and I'm just like, yeah, revival, tongues of fire, come on, let everything come. Come on, let's get a little weird in church a little bit. That's our church. I'm not telling y'all get weird. We get weird. If y'all want to get weird, weird is kind of fun sometimes. But when we get to this moment, when we're praying for revival, you gotta understand. And revival is when dead things begin to come to life. Revival is a picture of Ezekiel 37, when dry bones have been left in the valley, that people have been punished by sin, when they've been condemned, when they've been guilty. That revival is when the breath of God begins to flow into them again, right? And so what happens here in Acts is a book of revival. And it's a book of revival because at this point, now in Acts chapter 1, we find that they were in the upper room praying. There's about 120 of them. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, messed me up. And if you ever want to go back in your Bible, see something really cool, I encourage you. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, because this is what happens. It says that the disciples, they were all together on one accord, and they were praying. And here's the thing. This is what got me. And it said, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was in there praying too. Yeah. See, I knew that that moment, it would be like some type of, you know, some dissonance in people's mind. Because catch this, what makes that so significant? Mary, the mother of Jesus, praying for the Holy Spirit. And remember I told you, you got God the Creator that's over you. You got Jesus that's with you and the Holy Spirit that's in you. Mary, remember Jesus, that's Mary. Mary's Jesus' mama. Which means she waddled with him for about 6 months. The first 3 months, she might not have known she was pregnant. So she waddled with him. Jesus already been inside of her. Okay. Mary had experienced Jesus. She was there when he performed his first miracle. Cana of Galilee. She the one that told him, right? So she saw him die on the cross, heard the testimony of him coming from the grave. This is the same boy that she raised. She never counted herself to experience everything that God had for her yet. She was still so hungry and desired so much of more of God. She didn't look at the other disciples and say, well, when you get the Holy Spirit, you know how I felt for 9 months. She didn't say that. No, she knew that there was more. And this is what we've been preaching in our church and we've been praying into. We've been fasting. Matter of fact, the Bridge and our church, our 21 days of fast, they intersync oftentimes when we share about 14 days together. And some of you all don't even know, but we're praying for each other. Because here's the thing, family. I believe that there is more. Everything you experienced thus far is only a glimpse of what God has for you. Every bit of joy, every bit of peace you had thus far, there is more. He has your purpose in hand. He has a plan for you. And he's saying there is more, but you got to position yourself to get it. See, you don't get more by just walking around and talking about it, just like you don't get ripped and big in the weight room by just going in there and looking at the waist. No, you got to work it out. Everybody want the product, but you don't want the process. You want to get diversified. Hold on first. When you want to diversify, you want to see a multi-ethnic setting, you want to see a picture of heaven, the work starts with you first, and then it branches out. And so when God shows us in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these people position themselves for prayer. Now, you ain't got to like me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to see your life change? Stop depending on the people on stage to do it. You want to feel good in worship? Stop waiting for them to hit a note to give you goosebumps. You want to receive a word that will change your life? Stop waiting for the preacher to say the right thing the right way in the way that you like it. You really want to see change in your life, this is how you do it. Position yourself. God, wherever you are, I want to be. If they sing the song that I like, great. If they sing the song I don't like, great, because you're still great. The song is only the means to worship you. If the preacher have a bad day, and Pastor Edwin doesn't have a bad day, he's a great preacher. But if the preacher have a bad day, you don't say, man, God, you whack. No. His word is true. And some of us look to be impressed when God is trying to impact you. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were all praying together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says all of a sudden, it says when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house, and all this moment began to happen. And so what happens is as the Holy Spirit comes, people begin to speak in different languages. And as they begin to speak in different languages, here's the cool part. Remember, it says people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they were there, and at that point, they begin to say, how is it we hear them declaring the wonderful works of God in our language? What did they hear? Even some of them, they didn't even know really who God was, and some of them were the ones that participated in Jesus' crucifixion. But what drew them in was when people began to speak their language. Yeah. See, language is a major connector, because since Genesis, remember, they were divided by language, and now in Acts we see the redemption and the promise of Abraham actually happening. And so now at this point, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit begins to bring them together beyond their human division. And they begin to hear the wonderful works of God in their language. Sometimes the language is not so much just in a very, very different dialect. Sometimes it's in a different tone. Now, me being an African-American male that was raised in the 80s and 90s, I have a hip-hop slang that I cannot dismiss, which means most other African-American males or those that have been influenced by the hip-hop society, hip-hop culture, they can immediately connect with me, because there's certain words that I use in certain ways that I speak called Ebonics, a broken language or either slang, that immediately begins to connect. So here it is. For some of us that grew up in church, the language we needed to hear were, God, you are great, your mercy endures forever. And we immediately get it. Woo, hallelujah! We say stuff like hallelujah. For those of us that might not have been raised in church, and here's the language that we hear. Yo, God. Yeah. Yeah, he good. He good, yo. Yup. And that's our amen. So when you begin to understand the context in which people are coming from, Some people need certain dialects and certain genres of language that helps them understand God. I've been purposely trying to regress from churchy language to be able to help the unchurched understand how good God is. Because we know Christian needs. Somebody asks you how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Glory, hallelujah. Right? We say words like that. You don't go to your co-worker and say, I'm just hoping for a revival this morning. That's Christianese. Now the other Christian, they're going to say, yes, let's start shouting right now. Sorry. So what happens? This miracle is overlooked on the day of Pentecost. Because the day of Pentecost, there is a heavenly language that some people pray into, but that's not the language I'm so much talking about right now. Here's the thing. On the day of Pentecost, the first miracle of the Holy Spirit was bridging the division between humanity. The Holy Spirit has been tagged to be so many other things. But let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit has helped me and my wife be able to overcome our divisions. That the love we share is a divine love, but it takes the Holy Spirit giving me the right language to speak, and when the whisper sweet nothings in her ear, to let them know I still love her. Y'all know how to romance in the Holy Ghost. Listen, I tell people all the time, if you're married, don't try to be a husband and wife on your own strength. No, let God get in that thing and let him lead you to be the husband or wife you need to be. Right? And so now, let me hurry up here, because when we look at the Holy Spirit moves us beyond our human division, we see this moment. It was over 13 different languages that were gathered here. All these people from different languages and different regions where the Jews had been dispersed, and they came back, and now they're all here. The wonderful works of God. May there be a universal language that emerges from the Bridge Church all throughout Hampton, Virginia, and the seven cities, where people say, "What must this mean? We hear about the wonderful works of God." Who are these people meeting in the Performing Arts Center? They baptized in the river and all. What are they doing? But then they see lives change. Then they see people living with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, kindness, peace, gentleness, meekness, perseverance, and self-control. When you're living with those type of characteristics, people are going to want to know, why did you get to be who you are and doing what you do? What I found is, family, church growth is easy when you depend on God. Because church growth is not about just numerical numbers. No, church growth is about when people grow, they begin to literally leak out all of God everywhere they go, and people get attracted to it. So the Holy Spirit moves us beyond our human division. Holy Spirit also empowers us beyond our human abilities. And so the day of Pentecost came, Peter preached, and Peter got up there, he preached a good sermon, and here's a sermon that a lot of us wouldn't even like. When Peter got up and preached, because some people said, man, these jokers are drunk. They drunk, they twisted, they lit, they tight. And my growing up, they drunk as a skunk, they croak. right, they all that stuff. Peter said, no, they not drunk. Let me tell you what's happening. The prophet Joel said a lot of years ago that God said that he will pour out his spirit on everybody. And when he poured his spirit, he says people are going to dream dreams and they're going to have visions, and people will maximize their potential for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That he says he's going to pour the spirit, and all of a sudden, all of us will be on one accord. They were like, what? They said, what do you mean? He says, remember David, the king? David, the great king, that Solomon's daddy, and the one that slept with Bathsheba, he had some issues, but that guy, God gave him a promise. God gave him a promise that through his seed that there was going to be another king, a great king, the King of Kings, and that seed is Jesus. The same Jesus, the same rabbi that was just on the cross 50 days ago? Yes, the Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when I say it was a good sermon, I guess it's relative to who hearing it. Because he told them straight up, it was your sin that took Jesus to the cross. Yes, it was your decrepitness. It was your wretchedness. It was the things that you thought nobody else saw that took him to the cross. And oftentimes we come into church, we try to sugarcoat it, and we just try to say, well, you're okay. You don't really have to change much. No, let me tell you, when you come to Christ, there's a lot of change that has to happen, but you don't have to do it yourself. So Peter gave a message to Jesus whom you crucified. That's the one that we talk about. And it was like, what? Wow. So the same Joseph's son, Mary, baby, that's the same one? It was like, yeah. Man, I missed it. See, I wasn't even one of the ones that was like crucify. I was around them because it was Billy and them. They were saying I was just there. It might look like they're crucified, but I was in Rome. And well, it ain't really me, you know what I'm saying? No, I ain't hashtag it either. I was there, I was recording it because I didn't know if I want to put it on Worldstar or not. I just didn't know. I'm sorry, I'm getting in people's internet habits. I didn't know. And so then this is how the people responded. They responded by saying this. So if that's the case, if Jesus died for our sins while we were yet sinners, and we were guilty and we deserved to be dead, but he gave us life, if that's the case, what must we do? That's what they said in the text. What must we do? I recognize I've messed up. I recognize I've fallen short. I recognize in my mind I got stinking thinking. I got addictions, and there's a lot of stuff that I have issues with. I talk bad to my loved ones. I lie, and I try to get over on people. I hate people, and I recognize that. And you telling me this Jesus died for all of that before I asked? What must I do? Peter says, I'm glad you asked. This is what you do. Repent and turn away from this wicked generation. Let me break it down out of churchy language. Be different and be connected with God. That's what he said. Repent. Turn away from your wicked ways and be baptized. He said, now y'all need to make a public declaration. What matters most? Stop playing with it. Jesus died to let you know that you can have life and life more abundantly. He died that he might be able to bridge you beyond your human divisions. He died that we might be able to get a taste of heaven here on earth so that we will have a hope that we'll not disappoint, that no matter what we face, no matter what hurricanes come, no matter what earthquakes come, no matter who's in office, no matter what lives matter, he's saying my life matters for you. Repent and be baptized. That's what the call was. Stop playing games. And what happened in response? It says 3,000 of them. 3,000. That's a good sermon. 3,000. They repented and they got baptized. Could you imagine the baptism moment? 3,000 people. I mean, at some point you're like, all right, my car. Boom. Oh, snap. Boom. Whoa. Boom. At some point, you're like, everybody just come in. All right. On the count of three, we just going to fall in, splash around a little bit, and get up, okay? One for the Father, one for the Son, one for all of those. Boom. Come on. Hey! We all baptized. You've been washed. And you've been, this is an outward symbol of an inward commitment. You're good to go. Now, live a life that's honorable to him. That's what Jesus did. That's what Peter preached about. And these people's lives were changed. The Holy Spirit takes us beyond our human expectations, our human abilities. The apostles began to heal people. They began to pray in the church. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 43, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily. A growing church is a picture of vitality. A growing church is what God has desired. And if this is your home, great. And don't you discount your presence here. God wants to do something great, and you're going to want to be here now. And so when God blows this thing up, you can say, I was there. And you just didn't hop on because they were the winning team then. You got to recognize the bridge is a winning team now. And family, I want to encourage you, what God is doing here at this church, as Pastor Edwin and I have been talking and we've been praying, there's a momentum that you guys are experiencing. God is growing you inward, and he's growing you inwardly, and even that might be manifested outwardly. He's bringing people together. Some of you all, you are here, and you still wonder why I'm here. The diversity is increasing. There's going to be a moment where Hampton, Virginia, and the seven cities is going to need the bridge to be the brightest light possible. And I'm telling you, you are a small part of God's big plan. And once you receive all of what God has for you, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the presence and the power of God residing in you, then truly you can say, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Family, I'm trying to get you to a place where you can walk in the promises of God. That would you understand that you are more than a conqueror, that you have something on the inside of you that's greater than everything that's around you, that you have this treasure in earthen jars, that you might be hard-pressed on every side, but you will not be crushed. You might be struck down, but you shall not be destroyed. You might be left in despair, but you'll never be left alone. He is residing on the inside of you. That I am convinced, I am persuaded that when you get to this place, you'll know that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Whether there is disease, famine, whether there is conflict in society, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is living the beyond life. When he takes you to a place where Ephesians 3:20 is not just what you talk about, but you really understand now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I can ask or even think. May the glory be unto him that he can do more than I can ask or think according to the power that works in me. Family, tap in to the power of God in your life. And it takes more than just a Sunday morning. You got to learn how to read your Bible every day. You got to learn how to worship him when nobody else is around. You got to desire more. You got to live with a holy desperation like a deer panting for the water. You got to feel dehydrated when you're not on one, when you're not on one accord with God. And when you got a bunch of desperate people together, when you got a bunch of people that's just waiting for God to do something great, you'll begin to experience days like Pentecost every Sunday because people come in already ready. They're waiting for the worship team to start singing. They can't wait to lift up their voice. When you got a group of desperate people together, you'll see God's divine power residing in you and move through you. God has great things for this church. He has great things for you. And wherever you are in your life, I believe today is a place, is a moment where God is saying, I'm moving you from this point to the next point. Will you move forward in him? Will you receive what he has for you? Let us rise to our feet. I'm going to go ahead and pray here. Pastor Edwin, you can come up. I don't know if you close out after me. I'm going to slightly challenge you all just for a moment. Eyes closed, heads bowed. There's a few things I just want to be able to walk you guys through this morning. Within the message, the Holy Spirit will take you beyond your human divisions. Some of us, we have odds against people. Some of us, we are separated. We look at people of other ethnicities, and we have unconscious biases. We want to have a moment of repentance this morning where we want to repent for our own prejudice, for our own racism. Next, maybe you've been wounded by racism or prejudice. I want you to lay that at the feet of Jesus this morning. Wherever you've been hurt, wherever you are upset and angry, maybe the whole thing, people kneeling in the NFL, maybe it's bothering you. Maybe you're still thinking about the police shootings that happened, and you're in turmoil. You're nervous. You're afraid. You're angry. We want to lay that at the feet of Jesus this morning. So I'm going to challenge you. Come on, let's lift up some prayers in this place. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't worry about who's beside you. Come on, there's something that you need to repent from. Maybe it's not even just racism. Maybe you have some issues in your life, and you know they're wrong. You know they're wrong. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to make you be aware that you don't have to live in that wrongdoing. No. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Maybe you need to repent from those things, and repentance sounds just like this. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I want to turn away from those things that I might be able to see you face to face. Wherever I'm guilty, wherever I'm sinful, wherever I'm shameful, Holy Spirit, refresh me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that there is healing. The wind of God breathe in this place right now. The same wind that hit that upper room, breathe in this place right now. Bring refreshing right now. Father, I pray, Lord, that people are strengthened. Every weak place, that they are strengthened right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that all of us here under the sound range of my voice, that we don't count this just as a regular church service, but we recognize this is a moment that you encountered us and you're bringing us from where we were to where you called us to be. God, I'm praying for dreams to be reawakened, for relationships to be restored, for broken hearts to be healed. Lord, I'm believing, God, those of us that are in bondage this morning, may the chains and the shackles, may they be broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, move us beyond our human abilities. May we know that we cannot lean into our own understanding, but may we acknowledge you in all our ways. Father, I pray breakthrough in people's lives. Some of you are here right now, and I'm not just saying this as rhetoric, I'm not just saying this as words, but some of you are right now, you're in a place of life where you just feel stuck. You just feel stuck. Some of you all is emotional. Some of you all is mental. Some of you all is an actual situation. It's a relationship. It's like a job or something. You just feel stuck. If that's you, you're saying, look, I feel stuck. I feel confined. I feel in that bondage. And you're saying you want to be free. Come on, nobody's looking at you. Can you just raise your hand? And that's your act of faith of believing that God can do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe you're here today. You say, look, I'm in bondage. There are things in life that I've recognized that are wrong, and I want to be able to turn away from those things. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? Come on, you believe that God brought you here to bring change in your life. Come on, hands lifted, if that's you. If that's you, come on, I want you to receive all of what God has for you. Come on, we're going to press in, we're pressing in. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place right now. Maybe you're here today and there's healing that you need to experience. Can you raise your hand? Come on. If that's you, come on. We're keeping our hands lifted. All of those things. Come on. Father, I pray, Lord, as we lift our hands, it's an act of faith. Believing, Lord, that you'll move in our lives beyond our understanding, God. Let your power be evident. God, every place we feel defeated, I speak victory in the name of Jesus right now. Every place we're separated from you, God, I pray that you remind us that you died to unify us with you. We no longer have to live with a bad connection. Lord, we love you, God. We honor you. We thank you for victory. We thank you for healing. We thank you for freedom. Come on, if anybody else is grateful, can we begin to praise out of this place? Come on, can you lift up your voice? Come on, lift up your voice. This is a good place to say, God, thank you. God, we praise you. Come on, if you're thankful for his grace. Come on, no, come on, keep pressing, keep pressing. God, we thank you for who you are. Come on, God, we thank you for saving us. God, we thank you for freeing us. Come on, keep pressing, keep pressing. We put on the garment of praise for the spirit of holiness. God, you are great and worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done. Come on, y'all can do better than that this morning. Amen. Just in this moment, as we're processing what God has spoken to us, I believe that some of us are here this morning and you've heard so much about Jesus. You've heard so much about what he's done and how he's created this space for you to be a part of his family. That it doesn't matter what you did, past, present, or future, that in Christ Jesus, you are a new person. That God no longer looks at you through the lens of what you did, but he looks at you through the lens of what his son did. And the greatest decision that a person could ever make is to say, yes, Jesus, I want you. I want your blood. I want to be a part of your family. I want to receive you as my Lord. I want to receive you as my Savior. So just while we're still standing, I'm just going to ask us for one more moment, just with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and this message has tugged on your heart and you're saying, I don't want to leave out of here being separated from God anymore. I don't want to leave out of here being divided from God anymore. No, today I want to leave out of here saying I'm a part of his family, that he's my father, that he is mine, I'm his. If that's you, you're ready and you're saying, Jesus, I want to be a part of your family. Today, I want you. I want to receive your grace. I want to receive your love. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to receive this new destiny, this new plan that you have for my life. If that's you, while nobody's looking, If you're ready to make that decision today, I'm just going to ask you just to lift up your hand just right where you are, just so I can see you. Just lead you in a moment of prayer. If that's you, you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. It's not about if you've been to a church. It's not about whether or not you've gone to a church service. It's about whether or not you have a relationship with God. That's what he cares most about. That's what Jesus came to do. And see, if you're saying, I don't have a relationship with him. I've heard about him, but I don't really know him. But today I want to know him. That's you. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. Would you lift up your hand just so we can pray for you just for a quick second? That's you. Amen. And for every person who's making a decision to give Christ their life, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and make as much noise for Jesus as possible this morning. Come on. Come on, church. Amen. And while you're doing that, can we bless God for Pastor Chris Johnson?